CliffCentral.com.
How's it, George?
Hey, Gareth. Good, and you?
I'm good. What's happening with you? You look very smart today, George. Where are you? Because we always have to check on your location.
I am in my studio, but I changed it around a bit.
God, this is exciting. Every week there's a different setup with you. That's the plane last week. You were in a car the week before. Now you're in your studio again, but it looks totally different. You've got this cool green lighting behind you. You put in more effort than anyone else. I'm very impressed.
BMW i8.
Oh, there's a little BMW there, which is, that's the car you want, right?
Well, no, it's a hybrid. So, yes, I used to want it.
No, it's a very nice car, though. That's a
very nice car.
You see a few of them. There are a few of them on the road in South Africa. I've seen a couple.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them driving around. I mean, they're hybrids, so they're pretty quick and they're pretty efficient. So they're very nice cars. They're beautiful, beautiful cars. The trouble with hybrid cars, though, is the batteries, when they go, it's very, very expensive. We learned that lesson with the Nissan Leaf and the Toyota Prius. Yes, the Toyota Prius. Yeah. It's very expensive to replace that battery.
Damn. Tesla, the big news this week, we discussed with Sean Sanders already, that Tesla, now you can buy one with Bitcoin. So when you buy yours, is that what you're going to use to pay for it, George?
No. And unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not sure which one's the right. I don't have any Bitcoin yet.
No. You need to get in there, George. It's now only $52,000. So if you get in there, you could be there for you. I mean, who knows? I do not take financial advice from me.
You know what? I think financial advice from anybody nowadays is 50-50.
Exactly. All right. So what do you got for us on the agenda this morning?
Well, talking about Teslas, the Chinese military have banned Teslas from their bases and government buildings, facilities. Institutions, facilities, yes.
Yeah.
Because of the cameras that Teslas have on them.
Okay. Oh.
So, you know, is this the beginning of a little bit of a backlash from the Huawei incident?
Yeah, let's remind everybody. So China and the US have been facing off because apparently Huawei phones have been sending information back to China about the users and about various things that are going on in countries where Huawei are being used, including the US. And the US says this is a form of spying. And so China might be hitting back. But then the Chinese are super secretive about their government installations and facilities. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's just because of that. You can drive those cars everywhere else in China, though, right?
Yes, you can. And as a matter of fact, the Model 3 was the first internationally built Tesla in China was the most popular and most sold car in China, or should I say electric vehicle in China, until a much cheaper micro EV started to beat it with sales, locally designed and manufactured EV from China. So it did massively well. People love that car. So I think for the Chinese government to ban Teslas will be very difficult. That they've banned them from the government facilities.
Sure. Well, that's not surprising. They're very paranoid. Look, I mean, most governments are, right? But the Chinese government, we know so little about what goes on in their underground facilities and their military facilities. They apparently have James Bond villain level.
Nah,
yeah. We're losing each other every now and then.
Losing each other.
It means we can talk about Gareth behind his back.
No. I was just busy explaining that we talk to George every Friday. He's the CEO of AutoTrader, so you didn't miss anything. I mean, there's nothing you guys don't already know. So go ahead.
Wait,
George,
what?
Sorry,
the best response would have been George going, "What? I'm who?
Imposter."
You didn't know that you were the CEO of AutoTrader. What happened, George?
Sometimes I wake up and wonder.
All right, what else do you got for us?
So how do you make sure? It's Easter weekend coming up. How do you make sure that you don't have any outstanding fines? Because if you're going to wait for the snail mail, You might not get your fine. You might not even know you have a fine. And you may just get arrested because the police are allowed to arrest you on the side of the road if you have a fine outstanding, and you may not even know that you have a fine outstanding or that there may be a warrant issued for your arrest. So the answer is there's multiple sources to go to online, but there's one in particular called PayFine that you can log into, and it gets update. Do you go to PayFine?
Yeah, that's the one I use.
And they're pretty good. If you log on there, they're updated daily. Check if you have fines. Make sure you don't pay the fine 1 or 2 days before the Easter weekend, because we know how slow government systems are to potentially update. You don't want yourself inadvertently arrested. If you do pay it 1 or 2 days before the Easter weekend, print out the proof of payment so that you can present that to the police if you do get pulled over.
That makes a lot of sense.
And well, don't waste your holiday.
This is always just a problem that I have to deal with, because boy, am I outstanding and damn, am I fine. I'll see myself out now. See myself out. Happy Friday.
Sia, are you trying to imitate that that dude on the 11-minute show you were talking about earlier?
Goodbye,
I'm trying to put up. That's ridiculous. All right. So George, if you're going to pay your fines, don't pay them before the Easter weekend.
Don't pay them just before the Easter weekend. If you do, and you find yourself in a bit of a pinch, then rather print out the proof that you paid it.
What happens if you have fines and I mean, they can obviously stop you, and then you might have to pay that. If you've got fines that have gone to a warrant of arrest, you could be arrested. You could be taken to jail. Yep. But I mean, how strict are these rules, and what happens if you don't pay fines at all?
Well, if you do go through a roadblock, they will arrest you, and then they might just impound your car, take you to the courthouse, and put you through the processes. Massive inconvenience, you know. Sometimes, depending on the amount, I'm pretty sure that the penalty gets heavier. They could mess you around, keep you there. You just don't want to do it.
Or you just bribe the right cop. Not that I would do that, of course.
Well, you know, hopefully those are getting fewer and fewer over time.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, if the politicians can get away with, like, no one will arrest Jacob Zuma for all the fraud and corruption and his contempt of court. So why should they arrest little old you and me? Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Well, moving swiftly along. In-car cameras are raising privacy concerns, consumer reports say. And these are around Tesla's. Tesla's use of in-car cameras to record video footage of passengers to develop self-driving technology is raising massive privacy concerns in the U.S. And, you know, is this going to go anywhere? Are they going to put a lid on Tesla's cameras inside the car? I mean, how do you monitor a driver without having a camera in the car? You know, I suppose you've got to put steps in place that you don't record the information or store it anywhere. But how do you do that as a car maker and teach your AI what awake means and what sleeping means and what drowsy means? You know, the AI has to learn from something. So I don't know where this is going to go. Car makers like Ford and General Motors monitor things with other technologies like infrared, whereas Tesla uses cameras.
Well, I mean, AI, obviously they're developing all these algorithms now to be able to figure out what people are doing and how they behave. But it would be quite easy to see if someone's tired because of, you know, the way their body moves and eyes close and that kind of thing. So, you know, obviously you don't want that happening while you're driving, but it is a way to monitor it, right?
Exactly. And
yeah, it's very bizarre the way that they're able to pick up on these behavioral cues. It makes me a little bit miserable. It makes me a bit sad that eventually we're going to have these machines reading us, and we humans have no part to play in this. They're going to be like, oh, you're sad. You're like, how the hell did you know? I haven't even spoken to you.
And, you know, these machines are pretty accurate. You know, I've read some things that, you know, that show that these machines actually get it right most of the time. And you don't have to say a word.
Yeah. Well, let's just not go too far down this road. I don't want them telling me, my deepest thoughts and feelings when I even haven't even thought of my deepest thoughts and feelings. Scare the hell out of me.
You're feeling sad, Gareth. Oh, am I about to feel sad?
tells you before you before it happens. Yeah.
And then here's an exciting story. I sent you the link in the chat, and that is a young Joburg entrepreneur. Now, you know, sometimes you get these stories, and you know, it's somebody with a pipe dream, you know, without the ability or the resources to actually take it anywhere. But this particular Joburg entrepreneur, Nhlala Mazibuko, founded a company called Mazibuko Motor Company in Johannesburg, okay. And he hopes to build South Africa's first electric bucky. Looks pretty cool, if you'd ask me.
Electro bucky.
This guy is smart because he knows that South Africa is a big market for buckies. Hey, people love them. I mean, Afrikaans people, black people love buckies. They really do. So this is a massive gap in the market. This guy could fill that nicely and make some serious dough.
He could. You know, Auto Trader's data shows buckies are some of the most searched for cars in South Africa. South Africa is a bucky nation. So the reason he did this was because he was becoming frustrated at South Africa's slow adoption of electric vehicles. I'm going to urge you, Mazibuko, to go and read Auto Trader's electric vehicle report from last year. That's not the consumer that's the issue. It's government taxes on the imports, as well as no incentives for manufacturing EVs in South Africa. So, you know, it's down to the regulators at the end of the day again.
Yeah, listen, I've got to apologize again to anyone who's listening on the app or on the podcast, because we've had such internet issues today that there's like parts of the show that aren't going to make any sense. It's driving me insane, and we'll have to find a solution to this, even if it means me having to go to the studio from next week. But George, from what I understand, like the data that you were just talking about that you guys have on Auto Trader, you have huge insights into what people drive, right?
Exactly.
And you guys probably know more about what people drive in this country and what people are interested in buying and selling than anyone else. Have you seen any major changes since the beginning of this year? Because we know lockdown, surprisingly, you had more traffic to your site than ever before. I remember you telling us that. What's happened in the way that people might have been modifying their searches and the kind of thing they're interested in now in 2021 as we start to come out of this pandemic? What do you think is happening?
Well, towards the end of last year, normality started to set in. We're still seeing growth rates of 40-50% in traffic and conversion. So the growth in used car search hasn't slowed down. Consumers are still buying used cars as opposed to new cars. It's a problem though, because new car is a feeder to the used car retail market. So the trouble is, while all of this activity is happening, and the sub 200,000, sub 300,000 and mid-range cars have got back to normal levels again. You know, we saw people downgrading. People are actually upgrading now, but they're upgrading used car to used car, as opposed to trading in used car for an upgraded new car. So that's the difference that we're seeing, is people are actually upgrading their cars. And it wasn't the case last year. So if you ask me what the difference is between lockdown last year and the beginning of this year, it's upgrades. Yeah. The other interesting thing is that given the downward pressure of new car because of the increase in prices, the average price of a new car has increased by about 9% in the last 12 months, which is double inflation. And consumers just won't go there. They're coming to used. But the trouble is that if this continues, there will be a lack of used car stock in the market. If everybody continues to buy used cars, there'll be a lack of used car stock in the market. And that's a recipe for increasing used car prices in the natural economic model. So I think we could potentially see increase in prices. So, you know, if you really wanted to upgrade your car, go and do it before these prices begin rising.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's useful advice. All right, listen, guys, I'm going to wrap this up for this morning, because I'm just having such internet issues here, and I really hope we can get this resolved I'm going to get on the phone to these people now and see what we can do about it, because it's been almost impossible. Thank you for bearing with us this morning if you have. And George, always good to see you. We will check in with you next Friday. No, in fact, next Friday is Good Friday. We won't see you on Friday next week.
Oh, no. Gutted. Cliffcentral.com.